Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank all the young people for coming out to the fishing event yesterday. It was nice. I took my chair and sat in it and watched them and then sleep a little bit. It was nice. It was nice with the breeze and the shade and Ruby caught a turtle. Yeah. We did see a fish jumping, but it wouldn't bite the bait. But it was good. It was very good. Next time, maybe I'll try and fish. I haven't fished in a long, 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 long time. But maybe I'll try next time. Praise the Lord. Oh, battery low. 10%. Maybe 10% is enough. If you have your Bibles, we are in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 16. How many of you know this morning that the enemy is always looking for a way to entrap you? And if he can, he will. He's always looking for a way to entrap you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. I know I'm saying that wrong, but hallelujah. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. An evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed." Now, I'll probably go through most of this chapter, but we'll stop there. The enemy is always trying to entrap us. Here we have Jesus. He's on the scene, and the religious folks came and they wanted a sign. Matthew 1 says, verse 1 says, "And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test him, and they asked him to show a sign from heaven." Now, was that a bad question? Was that wrong to ask for a sign? I don't know about you, but it's not really wrong to ask for a sign. I have a good example. If you go to Second Kings chapter 20, you will see somebody asking for a sign. There was a king, what was his name? Hezekiah. He was pretty, he was going to die. The prophet came to him and said, "Look, get your stuff in order. You're about to die." Some of us would like to know when we're going to die. I don't mind. You know why I don't mind? Because, hey, I got enough time. Maybe I have some unrepented sin. I could take care of that. I could take care, get stuff in order. I really don't mind because I'm at the place in my life, I really believe in my heart of heart that Jesus is all I have. And when I die, I'm going to see him. So I really don't mind. But at the same time, I would like to live to 120. Just letting you know. So here he is, and the prophet came to him, and the prophet says, "Look, you're going to die." Well, he cried out to God, and before the prophet even get down to the fourth steps of his house, God spoke to him, he turns back, he goes, "Say, you're going to live for 15 more years." And then Hezekiah said, "How do I know that?" And the prophet said, "I'll give you a sign. You want the shadow to go 10 paces forward or 10. And he said, no, I don't want to go forward. That's an easy thing, right? Let it go backward. And God gave him a sign. He asked for a sign. Here we have in the book of Matthew, verse 16, the Pharisees and the Sadducees asking for a sign. But their hearts were not the same. They were not asking for a sign because they really wanted him to be the Messiah. They were asking for a sign to entrap him. Their hearts wasn't right. So asking for a sign is not necessarily a bad thing. It's where your heart is that makes it a bad thing. And here is the thing. They knew how to do the natural. Many of us know that. Now, if you ask Ed and he hires somebody to do a metrology, and he hires them to fix a certain instrument, do you know that they could really go study up, get the knowledge, and really follow the process and figure out how to do it? Now, in the natural, we have many ways to interpret stuff. Now, when I see the leaves start falling off the trees, I know fall is coming. I do. I went outside, and we have some apple trees I try to prune, and I probably prune it too late because it have more shoots than it's supposed to have now and all of that. But I said to Jill, I said, man, we probably won't have to cut this grass much longer. Look at the apple tree. The leaves are gone. I know fall is coming. I have an understanding that fall is coming. Here's the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are very religious. They should have seen what Jesus is doing and realized from prophecy, from understanding, that this is most likely the Messiah. But they did not. They were more into the natural and not into the spiritual. But you know something? They had signs. Do you all know that they had signs that they could have followed? Let's look at some. They had the prophetic word of John the Baptist. Do you all know that? They had the prophetic word of John the Baptist. John the Baptist says this. What did he say? I am not he. Why? They went looking for John to be him, right? John said, I am not him, but the one who is coming. And then when he came, John says, the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. So they had the prophetic word of John the Baptist. They had Jesus who talked about himself in the temple in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Jesus read the scriptures. He opened up Isaiah, read the prophecy of his coming and what he was going to do. And then he says to them, the hour is fulfilled. They had the water that turned into wine. They had the dead brought back to life. They had the lame walking, the blind seeing, and the demon-possessed people set free. In fact, some of the people says, stuff like this has never happened. They had the feeding of the 5,000. But yet they couldn't look at those things and evaluate and say, this is most likely the Messiah. But they could look at the signs at the time and say it's going to storm tomorrow or it's going to be a good day. You cannot discern by what is, if you cannot discern by what is going on around you, keep looking for the greater sign. That's what he told them. Do you realize that? He says, look, you all asking for a sign, but I'm not going to give you one. Because in my book, I seem saying because you have enough signs already. But there's one coming that you would not be able to just let it lay. The sign of Jonah. Matthew chapter 2 and 4, he says, he answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the present, the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time. You know, in Matthew gives us signs of when the end of the age is coming. You know that? How many of us know those signs? How many of us understand those signs? How many of us realize that we are actually living in the last days by the signs that we see? He says, evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and departed. What is the sign of Jonah? Everybody should know the sign. If you are a believer today, you should know what the sign of Jonah is. Because when I was growing up, I went to Sunday school. And that was one of the things they taught us in Sunday school. Jonah was there 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a big fish. Well, when I was growing up, they call it a whale. But the Bible doesn't say what it is. We know it was big enough for Jonah to fit in there. Jesus was saying to them, the prophetic word of the Son, the Messiah coming and dying and raising again in 3 days, you shall see it come to pass in your time. What better sign? In fact, that is still the greatest sign today, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Muhammad did not raise from the dead. Buddha, he didn't raise from the dead either. And the prophet, I think White, didn't raise from the dead either. The only sign that we have that we could look back and say that he is the Messiah is because he rose from the dead. Because what? Paul told us, he said, if Christ has not risen from the dead, we should be counted like imbeciles. Because we have no hope. And Jesus gave them the ultimate sign of who he is. And he said, it is coming. And he was saying to them, it is coming in your time. You will see this come to pass. In fact, they went to the Herod and said, look, we need to put somebody at the tomb because he's supposed to raise from the dead in 3 days, and they might just come and steal his body, and you know it would be worse then than it is now. Folks, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. There's no other religion, no other sect out there that if they teach something different, you need to stay away. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And there is evidence. And then Jesus encouraged his disciples not to be entrapped by religion. Do you know we could be trapped by religion? Who are you listening to on the radio? Do you know what they really believe? What kind of ministries are you allowing in your life that may come in and corrupt what God is trying to do in you? He was warning them. He says to them, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the five loaves and the 5,000s, and how many baskets were gathered? The 7 loaves and the 4,000s, and how many baskets were gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Here's a little side, let me go off the track a little bit. Sometimes we don't understand what God is saying because we are preoccupied with what we know that God has already done. Let me explain what I mean. If they realize that God is their provider for their daily food, they would have never thought he was thinking about bread. Sometimes we allow our circumstances to mess up what God is trying to say to us. God is talking to them about something else, and because they were concerned, all they heard was bread. And they realized we didn't have any bread, which that shouldn't have been a concern for them, because Jesus Christ just supplied with 5 loaves, so many, with 7 loaves, 1,000. They should realize God can supply my need. But because they're so wrapped up in their need, their present need, they could not understand what God was speaking to them. Sometimes we are in the same boat. God is speaking to us, but we are so preoccupied with our need that God can supply that we're not understanding what he's saying. Jesus said, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourself the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves? Sometimes I have to remind myself of what God has done for me. Do you know that? Because sometimes I get to the place, we get so worried about God's provision for our lives that it so take up our whole thinking that we can't even comprehend what God is saying to us at the present. Because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. They were anxious for some bread. When God showed them already he could provide, he could take a little. He could take what little you have and provide for you to sustain your life. Okay. Then he says to them, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know what I know? Whoever you put as the person that is teaching you, when you put that person as an authority in your life, it can change the way you think. Do you all realize that? Now, I'll give you an instance. I used to be, when I read the Word of God, I used to always think a person can walk away from what God has done in their life. I used to always say that. You can come to Christ, he delivers you, he sets you free, and some point in your life you could decide, hey, I don't want this anymore because it's too tough, it's too hard. And then I start reading and studying a lot on the Calvinism, and I was into that. And after a while, my mindset changed, and I said, you know what? Once saved, always saved. If you ever walk away, you were never saved. Why? Because of the people I put in authority in the teaching in my life. Whoever you put in authority as a teacher in your life, you're going to end up thinking, acting, and believing the way they believe. And Jesus says, hey, I'm encouraging you, my people, do be aware of the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because all it's going to do is move you away from the plan of God. Today, I believe. Some people disagree with me. I believe you can walk away from what God has done for you in your life. I believe that because the Bible tells me in Hebrews, how can he once again come and crucify Christ a second time? You know why? Because it's possible. Be careful who you put in authority over your life. And you have to be like the Bereans. Yes. Yeah, there we go. You have to be like them. You have to spend time in the Word and make sure what is being taught matches up to what is in the Word of God. If all you do on a regular basis is just take what the preacher says, shame on you. But Jesus told him, understand this. Be aware. I'm encouraging you. Don't allow the teachings of the Sadducees and the Pharisees influence your life. And then Jesus showed them where true revelation comes from. True revelations come from. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist. Well, some people say Jesus is not God. We have that today, right? If you ask some people who Jesus is, they will say Jesus is not God. He was a prophet. Well, they say some say John the Baptist, some says Elijah, and others says Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? We could ask that question to each one of us this morning. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Where does truth come from? Where does revelation come from? Revelation don't come from us. Truth don't come from us. Where it's come from is from the Father. Peter didn't say that on his own accord. Peter didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, there is the Son of God. There is the Messiah. It was revealed to him by God. Where does truth come from? Truth comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells in you as a believer when you read the Word of God and he shows you what it means. That's where truth comes from. Truth don't come from me. Truth comes from the Holy Spirit. Truth comes from God. Truth don't come from you. It comes from the revelation given to you by God and God alone. Whenever you get to the place that you think you have the truth, you are a Sadducee and a Pharisee. Folks, the three truths I saw as I read the scripture is one, the enemy is going to try anything he can to entrap you. He tried it on Jesus. And he used religious people to do it. The second thing I see here is we are encouraged to weigh the ministries that we allow to minister to us. Because if we choose ones that do not seek Jesus Christ as the Messiah, or ones that wants us to believe the way they think is truth and it's not being revealed to them by the Holy Spirit, we too can become like they are. And three, revelations only come from God. It does not come from us. If you're a child of God and God's Spirit lives in you, He is going to lead you. He is going to guide you. He is going to counsel you. He is the one is going to reveal to you the truths about God. We don't come up about it by ourselves. He says, Peter, that didn't come from you. That was revealed to you by God. So as we serve the Lord in these last days, I encourage you to remember that the enemy is going to do anything to entrap you. And you must place yourself under good teaching and remember that revelation comes from God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that we understand the truth that we have to be yielded to the Spirit of God. We have to be under your authority. And you are the one that is going to reveal to us the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that gives us all that we need to follow hard after you. Help us, oh God, to place the right things in our lives, the right books that we read, the shows that we watch, the things that we allow to come into our lives to change us and form us. Let it be the things led by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we surrender our lives and our hearts to you. And we ask, O God, that you will continue to guide us as we look into your word. Father, this morning we just want to thank you, Lord God, for calming the storm that was going to hit so many. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing it down to a lesser storm so that the damage was not so severe. Thank you, Father, for listening to and answering the prayers of your saints as they prayed. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.